This morning's public reading comes from John chapter 3, beginning in verses 1 to verse 21 this morning. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Those who may be following on the link, we invite you to take a copy of your Bible and turn with us to John chapter 3. And just for those who may not know, in our congregation, we use, read, and preach from only the authorized version of 1611. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, speaking to Nicodemus directly, except a man be born again, or born from above, or born from the very first, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Notice Nicodemus took a physical, natural, strict, wooden, literal interpretation of Jesus' words in verse 3. And notice Jesus' response. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is natural, that which is physical. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So even notice, as we're considering which Israel in Acts chapter 28, even Jesus makes a distinction between that which is born naturally, that which is born of the flesh from natural procreation is simply flesh. But then you also have a birth that produces life, and that is spiritual, okay? It's something that cannot be seen, but it's there. You can see the result, the end result of such a spiritual birth. Then Jesus says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth, and here Jesus is using the wind as a symbolic analogy or a reference to the Spirit that he mentioned in verses 7. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, showing the sovereignty, the sovereign movement of the Spirit. He can either come like a hurricane and bring a salt of Tarshish to the ground, or he can come in a gentle breeze like Lydia and simply open her heart by the riverside in Acts 16 and graciously save her. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Now, beloved, Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. He should have known these things. He was responsible to teach God's people, the common folk, and even he can't understand. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? That was kind of like a little rebuke, if you will. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Notice what Jesus is telling them. We know what we're talking about. Jesus is telling Nicodemus that Jesus is not mistaken by what he is saying. But Nicodemus, why are you unable to receive my words? If I have told you earthly things, you might believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And again, I'm going to call your attention to this. You have earthly things, and you have what? Heavenly realities. Earthly realities, heavenly realities. Natural Israel, spiritual Israel. Physical, spiritual. No man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Uh-oh, did you catch that? Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Modern English translations have removed that last line. And by doing so, they have stripped Jesus of his omnipresence. He says, the Son of Man, which is, not was, in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, a reference to Numbers 21, verse 9. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why? It was already condemned. But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, this is the judgment, that light is come into the world. And beloved, that light was personified in the person of Christ. But men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil and are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed or reproved. But he that doeth truth, something that they do continually, come into the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Beloved, this is a gold mine. And beloved, none of us, even in 5 or 10 minutes, are able to dig all the diamonds and the emeralds and the pearls from this particular reading. But Nicodemus, again, he is a Pharisee, meaning he was a right winger. He believed in angels, he believed in spirits, he believed in miracles, and he believed in the hereafter. The Sadducees, the other part of that august body of spiritual religious leaders, denied all of that. They were simply for the earth, get everything that you can, and then you can it, and then you keep it. Well, he comes to Jesus by night, and there are a host of reasons why he came at night, and we could argue that till the cows come home. But nonetheless, he comes to Jesus by night. And notice, in verses 2, he gives some flowery words. We know that you are come from God, for no man can do these miracles lest God send him. And notice, Jesus doesn't make any comment to those platitudes. Notice, Jesus goes right to the issue. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, for those of us that are following currently, right now, this morning, we're in Acts chapter 28. Where Paul greets a delegation of Jews from the city of Rome while he's in Rome. And he tells them, I've called you, and I'm in these chains because of the hope of Israel. And we're trying to define what Israel is Paul referring to. And isn't it amazing that that hope of Israel in verse 24 of that chapter 28, deals with two topics, the kingdom of God and things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And notice, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is this a physical kingdom? Or is it a spiritual kingdom? Is it a kingdom that requires you to walk on a certain degree of land, dirt under your feet? Or is it a spiritual kingdom? Does it reside within you? I think here Jesus is actually describing that kingdom that he was announcing, as well as his cousin John, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, is not a geopolitical entity right now there in Israel. No, that is not the kingdom of God. It's actually the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God is that which is spiritual. It's that which is within you. Not something without. Then Nicodemus said unto him, how can this be true? Now, for those of you taking notes, what Old Testament section do you think Jesus was referring when he told Nicodemus, you ought to know this? Off in the margin, put down Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 36, verses 24 to 28. Could be one of the sections of the Old Testament that Jesus is referring to Nicodemus. You ought to know what I'm telling you because you are a teacher in Israel. That's a possibility. And then for the New Testament, put down Titus 3, 4 to 7. Titus chapter 3, 4 to 7, for verses 4, if you want to go back and do some further study. Ezekiel 36, 24 to 28, and Titus 3, 4 to 7, would be the New Testament equivalent to what Jesus was referring to, quoting from the Old. Jesus, in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So once again, entrance into this kingdom has nothing to do with physical birth, a physical ID card, or some type of certificate that you receive. Okay? You entered this kingdom spiritually by the second birth, by being born from above. And then Jesus clarifies, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The flesh is useless. The flesh doesn't get you into the kingdom of God. A spiritual birth qualifies you for that kingdom. And then Jesus tells him, "Marvel not that I said unto thee." And then notice, "Ye must be born again." Notice, it goes from thee, singular, to ye, plural. Meaning every single individual needs to be born again. Those verses again, back in verse 4, Ezekiel 36, 24 to 28, would be one of those Old Testament passages that Jesus is referring to. And then the New Testament equivalent would be Titus 3, 4 to 7. Put those two together and then reread verse 4 of John chapter 3. And you can see what Jesus, what Nicodemus' statement, how can this be? Well, Jesus tells him, you ought to know these things. You're a teacher. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? It makes no sense to me, Jesus, what you're talking about, this born again. Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 10, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? And I believe Jesus here is rebuking him that from the Old Testament scriptures, the things that Jesus was talking about should have been known to Nicodemus. Jesus was not bringing up some new theology or some new doctrine when he uttered those words about being born from above. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, verse 11, we speak that we do know and testify that what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. Modern translation, stop right there. And they have removed, which is in heaven. They removed that. And notice, it's not in italics. Meaning those words underline, okay, come from the underlying Greek text. The perverted modern English Bibles, that text that they're using has been altered. Something's been removed. And then Jesus relates the story of Moses. And again, there's even some debate on verses 16 and following. In my edition, it's red letter, Jesus speaks. There are those who say, well, is this John the Baptist speaking? Or is this John himself? I believe Jesus uttered that John 3:16, which many people have memorized and has become very dear to them for what it says. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.